This is Austin Roos of CFAM for the UN Minute. For more information, go to c-fam.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Used to say, when he introduced a particular item in the news, over my shoulder, a backward glance. Well, this is our version here on The Doctor Is In of that. This is Look Back Friday, where we look back. We take calls. We edit them. We decide, what other direction can we go with this call? Any call has multiple directions, things you could say about it. And oftentimes, if I were to categorize the email that I get, a big lump of them would be under the heading, you know what you didn't say, Dr. Ray, that you could have said? How true. But given the time constraints and given the fact that we're just generally educating here, we have to select what we're going to say. Look Back Friday gives us a chance to look at the call again, take it in a different direction, or broaden it out. Oftentimes, the calls have some kind of therapeutic implication, or they might have a broader social or emotional, behavioral, religious issue. Ooh, almost psychobabble there, that we can tackle. So that's what we do on Look Back Friday. Now, we got the calls sitting up there. We got, oh boy, there's just a wide range, repressed memories, nightmares, daughter ran away to boyfriend's house, wife cheated with neighbor. Oh, my. All kinds of human circumstances up there, which we will get to. However, here on The Doctor Is In, which comes to you Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, my producer man, and I can say producer man. I don't have to say producer person, because he's a producer man. Andrew Krucek, father of two, John and Audrey Rose, little kids. I dare say Andrew's probably listening to me a little more carefully these days as his daughter begins to move into preschool age range. No longer a toddler, no longer stumbling and bumbling around. No, she's becoming a little girl. That's where it gets complicated. And you'll say, well, you know, I'm going to start listening to the program a little more instead of taking a nap during The Doctor Is In. We had a call a little while back. Somebody said, I want to get my kid to clean her room, and I was advised to use natural consequences. In other words, the room is a pit, smells like a landfill. The EPA has already made 9 visits to the house. Mom doesn't want to go in there. To go in there is to boldly go where no mom has gone before. She's got to tie a rope around herself, wrap the other end of it on the chair rail before she goes into the room in case she gets lost. She can pull her way back out. Hopefully all the wild animals have left. So what does she do? Well, the standard advice on something like this is what shrinks would call natural consequences. In other words, I don't wash her clothes. I don't go in there. I'm not going to pick up her clothes to wash them. Okay, if she wants them washed, she brings them down. Or she washes them herself. I shut the door. That's it. I don't have to look at it. Or if things are broken because she's not taking care of them, well, they're broken. I do not like natural consequences as a first resort. They certainly can teach. And the world, natural results, holds kids and adults accountable for their actions. They do. Now, unfortunately, the natural consequences of adulthood are tough. Rough and tough. All right? You can behave stupidly 14 times in a row and nothing happens. And the 15th time, Well, serious things happen that you may pay for the rest of your life. So the world teaches with natural consequences, but the world is erratic. The world is unfeeling. That's why parents do the teaching that they do when the kids are young, so that the kids don't have to learn at the hands of the world. And oftentimes, by that time it's too late, we don't learn at the hands of the world. The world clobbers us, and we're done. So a natural consequence on this messy room problem is just sort of don't do anything that makes the child's life easier regarding their clothes, possessions, any of that. Here's my question. Where is the parent's right here? What if I don't want a room in my house looking like that? What if I don't want the child to treat their possessions, most of which I bought, like that? What if I don't want natural consequences to ruin their clothes, which I bought, and which I might be tempted to replace? Now, you know, those of you listening, that you do have to battle that temptation. Our caller did. Our caller called it punitive. She said if she went in there and big trash bag, got rid of half the stuff in the room. I personally like the consequences that her parent imposed. For example, let's say mom goes in there with a big, big construction bag. Those things can hold cinder blocks. She goes in there and she simply decides, well, I'm going to clean it. I don't really know what's valuable and what isn't. So whatever I put in my bag for disposal could be something that my daughter or my son wants. I don't know. Now, of course, you do know, but this is planned ignorance. You could do that. At the very least, you got less stuff to pick up in there because there's nowhere near as much stuff. Part of the reason I think that natural consequences have an appeal is that they don't ask anything of us. I don't have to take action on that room. I just kind of let it exist, and then whatever complications come for the child because of that. Mom, I can't find my shorts. I can't find my shorts. Well, I don't know where they are. I haven't been in there for 12 years. But they're in there somewhere, Mom. Did you wash them? No, I don't know where they are. Well, I got to have them. Now, most parents will bail the child out. You know this. There's a certain peak desperation that moves us. We do. We don't sit there and go, well, you got no shorts for gym. That's the way it is. Now, what do? We go in there, either look for the shorts or find another pair of shorts or do something. Few of us actually let natural consequences do the teaching when it's a teaching that causes real complications. But the temptation is to, wherever possible, use natural consequences because, one, we're not the bad guy. I didn't do it. You did. I'm not the one who said go into your room and you can't come out until it's clean. You could get mad at me if I do that. Two, if I attempt to put my own consequence on you, it could get really complicated. You could get argumentative and nasty and hostile, and a verbal battle could break out. Oh, I don't want to go through this just because I want you to clean your room. Okay, so natural consequences. Three, laziness. I don't have to do anything about it. Let's see what happens in time as a natural result of this level of chaos in this room, this what the physics people would call random motion. Let's see what would happen. I've heard experts say over and over again, well, you know, if they leave their skates out, shows you how old I am. What are those one line things called where you only got one line on the skates or whatever it is? Don't have wheels, they got, I don't know, whatever they are. Anyway, they leave those out in the rain. They're going to rust. They're not going to be any good. Well, okay, but my question is, who paid for those skates? If I paid for those, I don't want to sit there and say, well, you're going to learn a lesson, you're going to destroy what I got them. Therefore, see what happens? Because you know as well as I do, the temptation is for you to replace them, or grandma's going to replace them. Right? I don't like stuff that I bought destroyed. I just don't. And a natural consequence of a mistreatment of that stuff is that it does get destroyed, or it does rot, or it does get damaged. I don't like that. Wait, why don't I just hand you a $10 bill and tell you to burn it? Natural consequences can help you out. They have their place in parenting. They do. Unfortunately, my experience has been a lot of folks elevate natural consequences to their first line of discipline. Not good. One more example. Let's say he mistreats his sister. He calls her names. He's nasty to her. What's the natural consequence? Well, she's not going to be around him. She doesn't want to be around him. She doesn't like him. She doesn't want to play with him. She doesn't want to interact with him. That's the natural consequence. Yeah, but wait a minute. He's mistreating his sister. Is he allowed to mistreat his sister? Maybe he could care less if his sister doesn't talk with him. There's no natural consequence there. It doesn't teach him anything. It just allows him to be nasty. And then, supposedly, he's going to be moved by the fact that his sister no longer wants to be around him. And then he's going to regret what he's doing and he's going to change his conduct. My experience as a shrink is that's not what happens. He has to be held accountable, and the most logical person to do it is the parent. I tell my kids, there's going to be natural consequences. And I'm going to impose them. Okay. When we come back, Gracie from New Hampshire, her mother has cancer. And just where is Gracie's dad? I'm Dr. Ray. Be back in a moment.
Manresa Jesuit Retreat House in Bloomfield Hills wants to welcome you to the Master's Garden Saturday, May 30th. The Master's Garden offers a day to learn eco-friendly gardening tips, stroll their 39 acres, tour the house, and enjoy their speakers. There'll be entertainment, raffles, and experts available throughout the day to answer your gardening questions. For tickets and info, look for the Master's Garden on their homepage at manresasj.org.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, we'll hear Father Ricardo speak with the Ann Arbor, Michigan ID 916 community. They're a group of young adults, single and married, who are becoming intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. Father Ricardo's title is, I'm Inspired by You. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
I think you're excellent. I just want to say that first. I take my lunch break at 1 o'clock just so I can listen to your show every day.
You got to get a life, woman. Dr. Rigger, India, psychologist. Father of 10, five boys, 5 Estrogen Americans. Delighted to have you with me here on Look Back Friday, where we take previous calls. Through the magic and technology of editing, we bring out the crux of the call, and then I take it in a different direction from that which I took it the first time around, offer maybe another thought, or, in the ideal case, broaden out the call. What is it actually tapping into from a clinical perspective? I mean, I can't diagnose or do therapy, but just a broader clinical question or perhaps a faith question. Gracie from New Hampshire, her mother has cancer, and Gracie's frustrated. She's frustrated and upset because where is her dad in this?
My mom was diagnosed with cancer right before Christmas, and so I hit the ground running to get her up to Boston, which is only 45 minutes from us, for the best cancer treatment. So our whole world is different, but we're taking care of business and doing everything we can, and I'm very thankful to give back. However, there's always a however.
Always the big but, yep.
My dad, who I have recently started nastily calling Mr. No-Show under my breath and 1,500 miles away, but my dad, who has never been mean or vicious or anything like that, just a total emotional no-show my entire life, continues to be the same, and somehow I'm shocked by that, which I guess makes me not.
Yeah, that's your key phrase there. Gracie, that's your key phrase. Somehow I'm shocked by that. He's been emotionally distant all my life, and now he's emotionally distant, and I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, but it's just, it's so hard to see my mom going through such just agony at times and just such pain. And he's just like, oh, gosh, you know, I really want to see her so bad. I'd just give anything to see her. I'm like, Dad, I can fly you up tonight.
But that's on my golf days. It's Wednesdays are my golf days.
It breaks my heart, and it makes me so, I'm like,
you're struggling.
Shocked
you're struggling
at
with
how angry
hostility.
I am.
Yeah, you're struggling with hostility towards your dad. I mean, how can this guy be so unfeeling? His wife is very ill, and he still is in a situation where he's keeping his distance. A couple of things here, Gracie. First thing, is mom as upset as you are?
No.
How do you explain that?
Because they've always had this odd marriage. They're very kind to each other, but they're not anything like my marriage. And still, you know, one of my brothers was like, oh, I promise you, he'll show up. He'll be there. And I was like, yeah, I hope so. But I knew he wouldn't.
You always knew that your dad was emotionally distant. What is shocking you is you never thought, under these extreme circumstances, he could still be that way, correct?
Yeah.
Your mother is not shocked. She basically didn't expect a whole lot more out of him. Okay, so you, on one hand, you're saying, I feel terrible for Mom. Look at poor Mom. Mom's gone through all of this, and then this guy that's supposedly her life partner is, who knows where he is, right? Making cheap excuses. Okay. But thank God that your mom is able to flow with it better. God bless her. So you can take some comfort in that your mom is not as distressed as you are. Two, you feel for your mom. She should not have to be neglected like this. Well, you're absolutely right. But it is happening. And she knows it. And apparently she's dealing with it. Three, you didn't say this, Gracie. I'm going to say it. You're really wondering where this is all going to lead to, because I tell you what, your admiration or whatever feeling you had for your dad has just plummeted off a cliff, didn't it?
Yep.
Yep, and I know. And you're wondering if you're going to recover from this. Because, God forbid, if something happens to Mom, all of a sudden now it's just Dad, and you're thinking, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy. I remember when I was in grad school, we used to look at some of the experiments psychologists would develop to trick us. Oh, lots of times they use sophomores as their rats, as their guinea pigs and mice. I was a sophomore once. I was used. But they design experiments that, on the surface, look like they measure one thing, but they're really measuring something else. One of the more fascinating ones I came across concluded that we are not very good at predicting how we will react in a situation, especially an emotionally powerful one or a unexpected first-time one. We may think we know how we'll react. We may think we know for better or for worse what we would do. And we take some comfort in the fact that we supposedly know ourselves. But the shrinks concluded, those waskily, twicky psychologists, that we have to have great respect for our limits in knowing when the situation happens in real life, how we'll react. So, that said, if we're not all that good at predicting how we'll react in a very difficult, challenging, pushing us to the emotional limit situations, one might ask the question, how good are we at predicting how someone else would react in that situation? Assuming we know ourselves better than we know most other people. That's like a safe assumption. So for Gracie, she thought she knew her dad. She thought, I know how he reacts. He's Mr. No-Show in life. But in this situation, I would never want to think that my father would react the way he's reacting. Never would have guessed that. There are things that I call shock situations that occur either because of the normal tragedy of human existence, or they occur at random out of left field. And these shock situations can tear up friendships because you never thought this person would do this. Never. Of course, you've never seen him in that situation before. What it does is it kind of rocks our world because we like predictability. I want to know what's coming. I want to know how somebody's going to react. I want to know how I'm going to react. I don't like randomness, as it appears. And that's really what Gracie's dealing with. There's a bit of randomness here. She thought she knew how this guy would act. So laying aside her protectiveness toward her mother, and she's very protective of her mother, understandably. Mom shouldn't deserve this. What mom's gone through, look at this. All right? Laying that aside, what's shocking, Gracie, is the situation that obviously she's not been in before. Dad's not been in it before. Mom's not been in it before. And Dad is reacting quite unlike Gracie would have predicted. Even though she knows what he's like, and one might say, well, you should have known. She would say, no, no, no. It's one thing to be neglectful day to day. It's quite another to be neglectful when your spouse's life is on the line. This kind of thing ruins relationships, and that's what I warned Gracie about toward the end. You have to be careful, because when these kinds of circumstances arise in life, especially the really tough ones, and they fracture a family, passing of a parent, and the will is fought over, and the siblings don't talk to each other for 12 years. They fracture friendships. I call them relationship-breaking events. And I think for Gracie, she's got to watch because this could be one of those. This could be a relationship-breaking event with her father. After this is all said and done, however mom turns out, whether she is cured of this or whether she passes. Grace is going to have to deal with the fact that this relationship-breaking event could threaten totally the contact she has with her father. You got repressed memories? Remember repressed memories? These things that were so traumatic that happened in somebody's life that they pushed them below their consciousness. They weren't aware of them until they went through proper therapy or until something jarred those memories. And then they recalled them. And all too often what they recalled did enormous damage to another person, usually a family member. And the family member said, there's no way that ever happened. Where are those memories coming from? Well, Helene from Pennsylvania says, no, Dr. Ray, I'm not so sure you're reading these repressed memories correctly. At least, I think that's what she said. I don't totally recall.
The Servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy have moved to the new Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township. They are always in need of volunteers. If you are interested in helping even just one day per month, visit sjdivinemercy.org. Help is needed for greeting, the gift store, cleaning, cutting grass, craft making, event planning, and much more. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OfficeExpressNow.com.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus presses them, "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples try to dodge the question, responding with what other people are saying about Jesus. In our world today, does the same, calling Jesus a good teacher or a good man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some even dismiss him as a myth or a legend. But the Lord is asking us for our answer. Who do you say that I am? Not what academia, entertainment, culture, or politics have to say. You. It is your choice and your Holy Spirit-inspired answer. What do you say?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace. Power. Purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Him Family Dentistry continues to offer pain-free dentistry and innovative ideas that will make you shake your head in disbelief. In addition to one-visit crowns, Him Family Dentistry offers Invisalign. Invisalign is an invisible teeth straightener and alternative to braces that allows you to eat what you want and remove them when necessary and with none of the irritation and soreness. To save time and discomfort, call Him Family Dentistry at 734-421-0121. That's 734-421-0121.
Next time on Life on the Rock. Not sure whether to be a priest or a husband, a mother or a religious sister? Vocational speaker Dan DeMott shares his advice on how to figure out what God is calling you to do with your life. Tune in as he joins Father Mark and Doug Barry on the next episode of Life on the Rock.
Life on the Rock is seen and heard around the world on EWTN. For dates and times in your area, log on to EWTN.com.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. This is Look Back Friday, where we take previous calls, digest them a little more deeply, analyze them from a perspective that we might not have because of time constraints in a previous show. My television show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, airs on EWTN, Catholic television, some 140 countries. So I've been working on my accents. Right now I'm working on New Zealand. Hello. So it sounds British Cockney, doesn't it? Anyway, the TV show is there, and it's entering its fourth season. So as I understand it, those shows should be airing just about now. They're all edited in the can, as we say in the business. My website's drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com. There's clips there and just stuff. you know, I used my, I got rid of my, people were saying that my picture on the website was old. And I said, yeah, but I was so cute in my communion picture. So I decided to update it. Picture there is now my senior picture in high school. A little while back, it's grainy. It's grainy. It's kind of yellow, but there's still some resemblance there. The eyes. Helene didn't agree with me. We had a call. We had a call about repressed memories. And I'm going to extrapolate on this after Helene's done. But one of the quickest ways to get onto this program is to disagree with me, or to criticize me, or even to attack me. Because if I can't offer at least some kind of articulate defense of why I said what I said or approached it the way I did, then I didn't think it through enough. And it would be very legitimate to take issue with me, which I think Helene does.
So I want to talk to Helene from Pennsylvania, who says, why, Dr. Ray, is it so unbelievable that an accusation of molestation like that could come up years later? Hi, Helene.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, dear. I didn't say it was unbelievable. I said it had to be viewed with high caution.
But why do you know what? I think I think she messed it up by going to hypnosis. You know, maybe she it took her that long, that much, you know, the courage to come out and say something. Does happen.
Oh, of course it does. But here's the difference. If you say it took her the courage to come out and say this, you're implying that she knew it all along, and she was not telling anybody. See, according to what our caller described, she never knew it. It only came to her awareness through this age regression hypnosis, or some type of hypnosis. So therefore, none of it was there. If you look at the research on molestation, the vast majority of the time, you're absolutely correct. If somebody is not going to tell you, it's for other reasons other than they don't remember.
What if she wanted to get confirmed that, you know, that she just wasn't making this up and getting another opinion? Because I've seen it happen.
First of all, if it does happen, it's a lot more uncommon than what the media trumpeted years ago. As a matter of fact, this whole repressed memory system faded from the scene. I went to a workshop on memory that I thought was particularly fascinating sometime back. And what they said was, it is much easier to plant false memories in people and in kids than people realize.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question on that. Thanks, Helene.
Back in the 80s, I worked at a mental health center, consulting psychologist. We would have staff meetings. Sometimes these were clinical-type staff meetings. A young counselor came in, introduced herself, and talked a bit, and said her specialty area was multiple personality disorder. They don't call it that anymore, but at that time, that's what they did, in children. And she went on to say how many of them she had seen. At that time, I'd been a practicing therapist for, 10 years, But I had been around enough to talk to a lot of practicing therapists, guys who'd been in the business, girls who'd been in the business for many, 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 many years. None of them had ever seen one. I hadn't. I still haven't to this day seen one. All of those therapists hadn't seen one. It's a rare phenomenon. Well, this particular, in her 20s, therapist had seen many, many. How do you explain that? How does one say this broad range of therapists have not seen what I've seen many, many times? And I made that observation to her in that meeting, gently as I could. She didn't like that at all. In her mind, I was questioning her clinical judgment. I wasn't questioning her clinical judgment. I just have to explain this. Well, they found with these repressed memories where the folks were saying this kind of awful, tragic, usually some type of molestation occurred to me when I was X age,
I repressed it. I didn't remember it until I was 41 years old, and then it came back to me. They found that those memories were being discovered through therapy by a relatively very small handful of therapists. That's right. There's a saying in psychology, you find what you look for. Therapist has to be very, very careful because we can plant in a client an interpretation, an insight, a thought because, well, we have credibility, we have authority, we're the quote-unquote experts. We have to be very careful that we don't lead the client into conclusions that we've already drawn, but they haven't. And they may not be real. I was making the comment when our caller before the caller on the lookback, so this is three lookbacks, called in and said, well, you know, I just remembered this under hypnosis, and I made some observations about the reliability of hypnosis looking back. It's poorly reliable. But on the other hand, our caller said, you know, I just discovered it. I didn't realize it. And I said, you have to be careful when you do this. You have to be careful because you can destroy lives. You destroy people's lives. I can't tell you, guys call me dads in their 50s and 60s sobbing because through supposed therapy, their daughter has accused them of some horrific act 33 years prior. And the dad said, there's no way. That is absolutely not in any way, shape, or form. The guy was just destroyed. And somehow it was just discovered. You have to be very careful about this stuff. And I think Helene was saying, well, how do you know it didn't happen, Dr. Ray? Well, I can't know it didn't happen. But the point I'm making is, this is not anywhere near as common a phenomenon, as I said, as the media would have you believe. Mark says, my daughter's 18. She can do what she wants, right? That's what they think. Okay. So what she wanted was to go to her boyfriend's house. What kind of complications does that entail? Well, stick around. We'll find out. I'm Dr. Ray.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Thank you.
delighted to have you with me on Look Back Friday. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me. Appreciate it very much. No you, no show. No me, get another host. I am quite replaceable. You're not. On Look Back Friday, we take previous calls, edited by the skillful technological hand of Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, official phone picker-upper, call screamer. And we let them run in some form of their original, and then we extrapolate. We meaning me, but you could extrapolate if you want. Mark seems to be a bit confused. Mark's calling from Kentucky. He seems to be a bit confused about what the number 18 means. Got an 18-year-old daughter who's giving you a lot of trouble.
Give us a little trouble, yes, sir.
Well, I don't know if I'd call a little trouble running away.
Well, that's been a few months ago, but there never was, there's no closure to that. You know what I mean?
Where'd she run to?
Back.
Where'd she run to?
Her boyfriend's house.
Oh. And he lives with his parents, so they took her in.
He lives with his parent.
Parent. And his parent took her in, right?
Yeah.
Save her from the evil Mark.
Yes.
Yeah, that's typically the way it is. What makes you think that you're limited in what you can do because your daughter's 18?
She is generally, if not verbally, acknowledging that she's 18. It's through body language and implication that she's 18 and she can kind of do what she wants, and there's really not a lot you can do about it. If we stand pretty firm, no, you're not. It's weather's horrific down here today. She wants her boyfriend to take her to her counseling session. We said, no, we're not going to do that.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Why is she going to counseling?
We thought that counseling might help her reach, since she won't talk to us. And she is not, I don't want to say she's unreasonable, but I want to say she does not engage in a conversation where we ask her, why is this happening? What is going on that makes this behavior okay in your mind?
Mark, I fail to understand why 18 means anything. When my oldest son turned 18, I went to him. I said, Andrew, you're 18 today. This means you can do what you please. You don't have to listen to me anymore. You can come and go as you please. You're a legal adult. So as a result, you don't have to follow any of my rules. Now, Andrew was smiling while I was saying this because he knew what was coming. I said, of course, if you choose to do that, you can't live here. I think 18 is meaningless, Mark.
I'm with you.
18 just simply means, in the eyes of the state, she has certain rights. But in terms of living in your home, it means nothing. She lives in your home. She's under your supervision and care and your support. I see an awful lot of kids who think because they turn 18, now everything changes. Now you cannot tell me what to do. I'm 18. Which at one level is true if they didn't live with you. But as long as they live with you, then you decide what the rules are. One of the things that you want to do when you get a call is you listen for certain words, certain catchphrases, certain almost in passing things that the caller says. And this is what a good therapist does. A good therapist has to listen hard for sentences, for words, for connections, so that if you heard something 22 minutes ago, and somebody says something now, do they connect? Are they contradictory? How does one follow from the other? I teased Mark. I said, he's living with boyfriend's parent. Save her from the evil Mark. He concurred. He agreed with that. Absolutely. It's what I call not savior. That's too powerful a word. Rescuer syndrome.
much of the time, somebody that is aware of a teen or a young adult, 18, 19, as in Mark's daughter's case, hears from the child how bad the parents are. Difficult to live with, unfair, constricting, suffocating, you name it. You name it. Then this particular adult, instead of checking any of this out with mom and or dad, runs with what the kid tells him and rescues the child. See, what boyfriend's parents, probably mom, because generally mom's still single parents are still more often than not moms. So she's gonna let the girlfriend live there. She's gonna let the girl live there. Why? Well, because, I mean, I have no problems with this girl. She's fine. She's okay. This isn't a big deal. I get people coming into my office describing these situations. Their teen's no longer living with them. Their teen is staying with someone who has rescued them from the evil, awful clutches of this person. And you know what happens in the long run? A lot of times I look at my clients and I'll say, well, they're going to find out what you found out. They're going to find out what kinds of difficulties you were living with this kid. Might take them a little while because they don't have quite the same rules, quite the same history, but they're going to see. And much more often than not, that particular living arrangement breaks. If somebody were to say to me, predict, if you can, Dr. Ray, will this girl continue to live with her boyfriend and the mother? I would say, no. Maybe within a year, that'll be over. Too much, quote-unquote, closeness with the boyfriend. And find out that the daughter's difficult. Or the mom will find out, this kid... isn't exactly as easygoing sweet as I thought. Maybe the parents are not as bad as this child says, because I wouldn't want to think what the child would say about me, given that we're starting to know each other a little more. I've shared this before. My daughter Mary is 18, will soon be 19. We adopted her when she was 2. Very, very serious, traumatic womb history. Mary has been in some group homes that have failed. All right, she has a diagnosis of a mental illness. Mary confided in my wife just recently that in one of her group homes, she pretty much completely trashed us as parents. Oh, it wasn't Mary's perception. It wasn't Mary's perception of us, you know, seen through an 18-year-old's eyes. Oh, no. Mary came clean. She said, I blatantly lied about you because I wanted this person to treat me a certain way and to give me allowances and to let me live there. She said, I just lied. I told him how uncaring you were, how awful you treated me, and all the things you did. As an aside, did this devastate my wife and I? No. No, because I said, honey, you are that way, but I'm not. No, I didn't say that. Come on. I said, we know what some kids are capable of. And in Mary's situation, given her history, given her illness, this is not surprising. All right. I was kind of pleased that Mary just came out and said, that's what I did. That was a major step forward. She kept that under wraps for 6 or 8 months. So, the sense here is, when you have someone stepping in to rescue your young adult child from your clutches because you're such an evil, awful, terrible parent, and you do not understand your child. Okay. Sometimes you did make mistakes, and sometimes you would have done things differently. But often the rescuer finds out that this person isn't as easy to live with as it looked at first blush. I'm Dr. Ray. I'll be right back on Look Back Friday.
The Servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy have moved to the new Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township. They are always in need of volunteers. If you are interested in helping even just one day per month, visit sjdivinemercy.org. Help is needed for greeting, the gift store, cleaning, cutting grass, craft making, event planning, and much more. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OfficeExpressNow.com.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
Hello.
Dr. Rigorindi here on Look Back Friday. Because we are short on the break, close of the program, don't have time to do another look back. So I'd like to look sideways. I want to look a little bit more at some of the questions raised by the whole repressed memory question marks. If you recall, if you can remember this, you might have to go under hypnosis to draw it back out. I said that in a clinical meeting, we had a young therapist in her 20s who had seen many, many, according to her, children with multiple personality problems. And I observed that as a therapist, and as many of the therapists that I had known, none of us had seen one. All right, we've read about it, but we hadn't seen any, and here she was seeing many, many. She made the observation that this was her specialty area. Okay, this is what she specialized in. Now, one might say, well, then, Dr. Ray, that makes sense, because people refer these kinds of questionable cases to her. Well, that was not the case, as I understood it. She found these kinds of situations as she interviewed people, she would be more likely to come to the conclusion that there's some kind of dissociative disorder here. It used to be called multiple personality. Which leads to the broader question. Many folks are called specialists, experts in an area, not solely because they have special expertise or experience, but maybe in part because they diagnose something a lot. For example, the therapists who accounted for a disproportionate amount of these supposed repressed memories would be called repressed memory specialists, right? Would they not? They're the ones who, quote-unquote, had the most experience in repressed memories. Yeah, but the controversy there was, did they have that experience because somehow, some way, they invoked these repressed memories, so to speak? Or that indeed they had some kind of special expertise? That's always the question. That's always the question. You could say, Ray Grandy's a specialist in parenting, education, and discipline. Is that because of experience and training in that area, or is it because that's the kind of clients I take on? Doesn't necessarily mean I'm good at it. That question, I think, is always lurking. It's always kind of there. Some people just declare themselves specialists. Sometimes it's harder to do in medicine. Biology is a little more clear-cut in many of its aspects. But you get into the mind, the mental health field, the assessment field, the diagnostic field, you can declare yourself a specialist. I declare myself a specialist in repressed memories. Okay. So, indeed, am I a specialist, or is it because I'm prone to diagnose that more than anybody else? Always the question has to be raised. Well, got to run. Another show in the can. Delighted to have you with me. The program The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. It's a product of the EWTN and Ave Merida. Merida? Maria Radio Network. They work together in concert. Some 300 stations, as a matter of fact. The 300th station is the station out of Cleveland, The Rock. Spent a lot of my secular media time in Cleveland. So, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it an awful lot. Good Lord permitting, we'll see you Monday as we do E-Person Monday. Take on your emails, your e-persons, and see what we can get out of them. In the meantime, stay on your walk with God. And if you're not there, get on that walk. You got kids. Hold them tightly by the hand. Even if they're 18, maybe, you know.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
On December 8th, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Jewish convert Rosalind Moss will talk about Mary, our Jewish mother, on the next Putting on the Mind of Christ.
And I said, Joe, wait. God is not against repetition. Read the Psalms, Psalm 136. His mercy is new every morning, every other line. Read the other Psalms. He's not against repetition. He's against vain repetition. And meditating on the life of our Lord, which the rosary is hardly vain. Do you know why we pray the rosary? Because we have a Jewish mom who knows how to homeschool her children. That's why.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Rosalind Moss spoke about our Mother Mary at the recent Archdiocesan Women's Conference. We'll listen again on our next program. Join us this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL and 1440 WMAX for Putting on the Mind of Christ.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in